You are listening to Defunct Games Presents Cyril Reed's Blaster Master. Previously on this season of Blaster Master, we were introduced to Jason, a frog-loving kid who accidentally slid face-first into a heap of trouble. Together, he and Eve, an alien woman who inadvertently brought certain doom to the planet, had to fight their way to the dreaded plutonium box. But when Eve was kidnapped, Jason had to go it alone. Before long, Jason came face to face with Alex, a friend from the above world that also had a lost pet. Now the two heroes are on their way to the final boss, the evil plutonium boss. Will this be the end of Jason and Alex? Will these two nobodies save the world from certain doom? And where the hell has Eve been anyway? These questions and more will be answered in another exciting episode of Cyril Reed's Blaster Master. Chapter 20. Welcome, my human friends. You're made of tougher stuff than I expected. Up close, the voice was unbearable. Jason covered his ears and dropped to his knees. He couldn't look. Part of it was the brightness, so intense that it seemed to burn through his eyes. But mainly, Jason was shielding himself from the very appearance of the plutonium boss. The first underboss had been a hideous, boiling mass of nuclear matter. The others had been horrible mutations of pet animals. But they were nothing, in fact, compared to the plutonium boss. They were almost beautiful. Through slitted eyes, Jason forced himself to look at his nemesis, at the monster who had destroyed his beloved Fred. First, there was the head. A head the size of a building. Two huge muscle lumps were where his eyes should have been. Fleshy folds rippled down the center of his head, ending in a gruesome mouth surrounded by horns. The mouth was in constant motion, dripping fireballs, revealing jagged, dagger-like teeth. Its chin tapped the ground, sending out sparks. The head had no body. Instead, two muscular legs jutted out from each side. They curved outwards, then hooked downwards to the ground. At the knee joints, sharp spikes glistened. Gnarled feet clutched the ground with wide, sharp claws. "What's the matter?" the plutonium boss taunted, fire spitting from his mouth. "You do not find me attractive?"
"Get away from me," Alex said. "No, I hate rats."
Jason looked at his friend.
"Rats? Where do you see rats?"
"Silence,"
the plutonium boss cut him off.
"I must admit, I underestimated you humans. You have proven to be much, much stronger than I expected. What you did was a feat of courage and cunning. Perhaps you are now afraid that your journey is in vain, that I will simply vanquish you right now. But you are wrong. I intend to reward you."
Jason and Alex exchanged an uneasy glance.
"For this honor, I have chosen only one other person."
Rocking from foot to foot, the plutonium boss stepped aside. Jason and Alex both froze. Neither of them had paid attention to what was behind the plutonium boss. Now they saw. It was a white, curved wall, stretching out and away from them on each side, for what looks like miles. In the center of it was a giant metal door covered with gauges, switch, and pipes. Chained to one of the pipes, looking haggard and exhausted, was Eve.
"Jason,"
she said, her voice hoarse.
He is a rat. To Alex. To me, he's a horrible flying predator from Signarelle. To you, he's something else. The plutonium boss actually has no form visible to the naked eye. He takes the shape of something that he knows will frighten you. For each person, the form is different.
Jason didn't know what to say.
Was she real?
She had to be. The plutonium boss had no need to fake him out anymore. He turned to the boss and drew his gun.
You rotten coward!
Jason, no! Alex shouted. He'll kill us all! Jason ignored his friend. He fired. The plutonium boss took the full force of the laser blast. Nothing happened. There was no color change. No scream of pain. He simply opened his mouth. Out flew a brilliant flare of light. It shot directly towards Jason's hand. The gun went flying away and clattered to the floor.
Yeah!
Jason looked down at his hand. It was untouched, except for a slight black mark where the gun had been. The plutonium boss's laugh once again assaulted his senses. A particular way to show gratitude. Especially after I've deemed you worthy to test my new creation. What are you talking about? Alex stammered. The structure before you is my cyclotron. With it, I'll be able to accelerate my plans for the Earth. No more waiting around for eons like I had to do with Signorel. I'll be able to create enough atomic energy to wipe out the planet immediately.
He roared with self-satisfaction.
However, in my haste to build it, I have not been able to test its adequacy. I'll need a few, volunteers. Let's say 3.
Count me out, Alex snapped. Just point me to the nearest blowhole and I'm out of here.
Suddenly, Alex began moving towards the cyclotron. Not walking, not running. His feet were dragging on the ground, as if he were being pulled.
Hey!
Alex's upper body struggled to throw itself the opposite direction.
Hey, what's going on?
Jason looked down, the same thing that happened to him. His eyes widened with terror as the cyclotron loomed closer. Suddenly, some of the switches on the door started to move by themselves. A whirring noise began. A red neon sign flashed, "Cycle beginning. Cycle beginning." The dull green glow around them diminished. Even the plutonium boss seemed to become a duller, lighter color. The cyclotron was sapping the energy from the entire underworld. The radiation from the walls, the power of the robots, all of it was being drawn to the white machine before them. All of it was collecting inside the door.
No!
Jason and Alex shouted as they were drawn closer. But there was no defense. In seconds, they would be ripped apart without a trace. Chapter 21.
Jason, look! Eve screamed, clinging to the pipe for dear life. Look at the boss! He's using his reserves of nuclear power to start up the cyclotron.
Oh, of course! Alex yelled. What else can he use? There's no electronic outlets down here.
But he needs the power for himself, too, Eve answered. He's nothing without it. Look at him!
Jason glanced over his shoulder. In the room's dim light, the plutonium boss seemed to be flickering. Jason looked downward. Despite the diminished power, he was still being dragged along. Not as strongly as before, but strongly enough to prevent his escape. Out of his corner of his eye, he saw his laser gun on the ground. It was only about 5 feet away. If he could only tear free of the boss's hand, with his every last ounce of strength, he threw himself towards the gun. There was a sound. A breaking of some sort, a force field. Jason hurtled through the air. He landed inches from the gun. Instantly, he was jerked back up again. The invisible field was pulling him with double the force. But his fingers were now wrapped around his laser gun.
You're wasting your energy,
the plutonium called out. His voice half the volume that it once was.
Those bullets have no effect on me.
Maybe not on you, dinosaur face,
Jason said. He swung the gun around towards the cyclotron wall, pointing it at the spot near the boss.
But it looks like your great invention is made of Earth materials.
He took careful aim.
Pew, pew, pew.
A large hole ripped out the cyclotron wall. The plutonium boss fell to the ground with a resounding boom. He began sliding towards the hole. The cyclotron's energy was pulling him. His scream made Jason's skin tingle. Jason, Alex, and Eve all fell limply. Eve's chains had vanished. They were free.
He's using all his own energy to save himself, Eve said. Let's run!
A sudden explosion tore up the ground. Inches from their face, they spun around.
Die, you insects!
The plutonium boss shrieked. Three pulsating energy orbs shot out of his mouth. Poosh, poosh, poosh! Jason, Alex, and Eve dove away, scrambling to his feet. Jason pointed his gun at the boss. His shot hit at their mark. This time, the boss let out a cry of pain. The cyclotron's power was picking up. The boss flailed his legs helplessly. Green and yellow sparks discharged from the pores of the skin. As he slid towards the hole, he left a trail of glowing purple slime.
You cannot escape,
the boss said. Three more energy orbs burst out of his mouth. Jason shot at them, deflecting them in midair. The boss was now at the hole. He swung his left leg around. He braced them on each side. The suction of the cyclotron pulled at his face body, stretching it, making horrible features even more grotesque. He pulled against it, letting out a furious howl. Then, with a snickering pop, the plutonium boss was sucked inside. There was no time to feel relief. The cyclotron began to rumble furiously. There was a high-pitched squeal. A sign at the door flashed. Malfunction. Structural damage. Huge chunks of stone and dirt began falling all around them.
Here we go again, Alex cried out.
This is for real, Jason said. This thing's gonna blow!
Let's get out of here, Alex yelled, grabbing his two friends' arms.
Eve pulled him back. She looked him in the face. Sweat was pouring down her brow, making rivets past her bloodshot eyes.
There's no place to go, don't you see? When the cyclotron explodes, the world goes with it.
And now, an open letter to A.L. Singer, author of Blaster Master.
Like, oh my god! Did we just beat the end boss? Is this the end of the plutonium boss? Oh, I guess that must mean that the next couple of episodes are just going to be filled with Eve falling in love and Jason finding his pet frog and saving the world. Oh, hooray! Hooray for everybody! Oh, what a good feeling. But maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Perhaps we should let the plutonium boss win so that, you know, we can start over or something. I mean, let's face it. We've done an awful job running this planet. It's polluted and there's crime everywhere. And I have no doubt that a nuclear winter would be just the thing a doctor ordered. Well, maybe not a doctor. Whatever that guy in the large bunker down the block calls himself. What was that? Like a supreme ruler or something like that. He's kind of creepy. He had a bunch of young girls there. Anyway. So back to my theory. Look, if you blow up the world in the early 90s, then we can avoid all sorts of terrible tragedies. I mean, like, You know, the future isn't all it's cracked up to be. We don't have flying cars, and we're not exactly teleporting places. You know, just this week, there was a guy at a town hall that got his finger bitten off. Seriously, his finger. We can avoid all of those things if we just detonate a bunch of nuclear bombs, you know, back in the early 90s. It's perfect. And then the Terminators won't come back, and talk about a perfect scenario. You know, best of all, we can save so many people. I mean, just think about it. We can save all of the victims of 9/11. A Kurt Cobain won't die. A lot of young American soldiers aren't going to die over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Michael Jackson, Billy Mays. You know, yeah, I guess they'd die anyways. I mean, you know, everyone's going to die. But we won't remember them for overdosing on drugs or shooting themselves in the head with a shotgun. We'll remember them as dying with me. I guess I haven't really thought this through. Anyway, let's address a few of these quick points while I have you here. Okay, so first of all, the Plutonium boss really needed to shut the hell up and kill Jason already. I mean, what is he, a Bond villain? He spends like half of the chapter toying with the guy, and then, oh, look, he's undone by his big mouth. Great, I didn't see that coming. If he was as powerful as he says he is, then why didn't he just, you know, kill him with his mind back at level one? I like what you did there with the Plutonium boss and how he takes the shape of your deepest, darkest fears. That's a nice touch. That got me thinking about what if I was there, you know, battling the Plutonium boss, what it would look like for me. And here are a few things that I came up with, just off the top of my head. Right off the bat, I'm going to say Liza Minnelli. And maybe that creepy Burger King guy. I'll also have to say Thomas the Tank Engine, because I'm sorry, talking vehicles is just not natural. I don't care who you are. But if I had to pick something that the Plutonium boss would show itself as, it would definitely be Madonna's arms and hands. I mean, she's a 50-year-old woman who looks like, you know, a 2,000-year-old mummy. It's just disgusting. Just ick. Ugh. All right, well, that's going to give me terrible nightmares, and I have some Beatles Rock Band to play for review, so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to let you wait until next week to find out what I have to say to you when we review the penultimate episode of Cyril Reed's Blaster Master. Until then... My name is Cyril.